Matthew 6, and we'll begin at verse 5. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Well, lately I've pretty much wanted to preach on passages that are relevant to my life, and just had a hard time just picking a series that, you know, just starting a new book study, for example. I've got some in mind, but just really wanted to stick with things that are, you know, really relevant to my life, and nothing's been more important lately to me than prayer. So I wanted to spend some time looking at some key passages on prayer. And no better place to start than the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is arguably the greatest prayer in the whole Bible. That's kind of an artificial thing to say. We can't really say that any passage of Scripture is greater than any other. But certainly as prayers go in the Scripture, this is the one of the highlights. It's a prayer that comes from God that shows us how to go to God. And it's the pattern for prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples. You can pray it. You can pray it word for word. We do that every Sunday. You can pray it privately. You can also use it and should as an example, as a pattern for you to follow in your own praying. Rather than just praying it word for word, just use it as a pattern for your praying. As we look at this prayer, I think and believe that we will find some real help for our own praying. God wants us to be praying people. He wants us to be people who draw near in communion with him. We do that in prayer. And he's given us this prayer to help us in that. And tonight we're just looking at what's been called the preface to the Lord's Prayer here in verses 5 through 8. But there are some very important points made here about prayer. The first thing we should see here is that Jesus assumes that all his disciples are going to be praying people. That's something that is not an option. Prayer is not something that we should look at as an option. Either we can do it or we may not necessarily need to do it. If you're a Christian, this is like breathing. If you're a Christian, you've been brought into a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in any relationship, you need to relate to the other person. The two persons need to talk to each other. And so it is with God and us. God, of course, speaks through his word. He speaks to us by his word and his spirit. And we speak to him in prayer. Prayerless people, probably not Christians. Maybe for a time, your prayer life may be stunted as a believer. But if you're persistently, consistently a prayerless individual, you're probably not a born-again Christian. There needs to be that living relationship between you and your Father in heaven. And that relationship is nourished and it's deepened as we pray. J.C. Ryle got a great little book on prayer, a little booklet, and not very big at all. And he begins by asking just one simple question. Do you pray? Do you pray? Ralph says, without this, praying, private praying, he had in mind, without this, we may be outward members of Christ's church, but we are not living members of Christ. Prayer is like breathing for the believer. We need to be praying people more and more if we're Jesus followers. He wants us to pray, and he wants us to pray well. And there are some right ways to pray and wrong ways to pray. And in these verses, we see a few of those. Jesus lays down some points here for helping us to know how not to pray and how to pray as we ought to. In verse 5, he starts by saying, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Doing things with the motive of being seen, or with the motive of impressing others, or having them think well of you. That's what Jesus is getting at here. That's what he's telling us to avoid. People have that tendency. We have that natural tendency to kind of put on a show. We want to look good. We want others to think well of us. We, of course, don't want to have people see the bad things that we do. But if we do good things, well, then we wouldn't mind if people see that sort of stuff. Because then they'll think well of us. They'll think highly of us. And this can be true of prayer. It can happen with giving, too. And Jesus addresses that earlier in the chapter, verses 1 through 4. And he says something there that's helpful. He says, "Let your giving be done in secret. And do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And the point he's making there is that the only one who really needs to know what you're giving is your Father in heaven. He's the only one you really should be concerned about in your giving to the Lord. You do your giving to him and for his glory. You don't have any concern about what others see or think. It should be nobody's business, but yours and the Lord's. And it's the same with prayer. We are to avoid making any kind of display of our praying. Now, Jesus isn't condemning public praying at all. There are surely times when that's a good thing, that's a necessary thing, that's a normal thing, like in worship, in public worship on the Lord's Day, or in a prayer meeting, or in your family times of worship. Praying before others isn't the problem. There's nothing wrong with that per se. But what Jesus is condemning here is praying in such a way so that others will be impressed, or so they'll admire you or think well of you. And Jesus says, that's hypocrisy. That's something that we don't want any part of. The motives are wrong. When you're praying, Jesus wants you to be aware of your motives. It's your motives and the inner disposition of your heart that matters. It's all about your heart before God. In verse 6 here, Jesus says, "Well, when you pray, go into your room." Now, here's the positive. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now, here's private prayer. Jesus is certainly encouraging private prayer. Whenever possible, you should try to pray in private, in a secret place, in a place where you're out of the sight of others. With God, you take away any element of wanting others to think well of you that tends to puff up spiritual pride. And if you can't get alone, you can still practice this principle. If you need to pray, you can pray silently. You can pray in a way that is not drawing attention to the fact that you're praying. I think that's one way we can pray unceasingly. We surely shouldn't be doing that in a way that draws attention to ourselves, at least not deliberately. But the real point here in this verse is not the place where you pray. The main emphasis here is the heart attitude. It's not so much secrecy, but the sincerity of the heart. When you pray, the first thing is that your audience is your Father in heaven. And you need to do all you can to keep Him as your focus in your praying. Focus on Him. Do your best to keep out other distractions. And just simply talk to Him. Just talk to your loving Father in heaven as His child. Seek Him. Enjoy His company. Enjoy His fellowship. Adore Him. And bring your needs to Him. And know that He loves that kind of time with His children. And we should love that kind of time with Him, knowing that He loves us. But the most important thing that we should have on our minds as we pray, I think, is God Himself. And not mainly the things that we want from God. You're coming to your Heavenly Father, your loving Heavenly Father. You're coming to Him there in that secret place of prayer. And He is there for you. He is waiting to receive you into His fellowship. He is there to be enjoyed and worshipped and loved by you. That's the heart of prayer. Drawing near to be with Him. In Psalm 27, the Lord says, "Seek my face." And the psalmist replied, "My heart says, 'Your face, O Lord, do I seek.'" It's a beautiful dialogue. Our hearts need to say the same thing to the Lord. We need to be seeking the Lord's face. "Lord, your face, do I seek?" I'm going to seek your face, Lord, earnestly. I want to seek your face sincerely. I want to seek you for who you are. I long to go into your presence, Lord. I long to be with you. I long to know you. Seek the Lord that way. Seek Him just for the sake of who He is, first of all. God invites you and I to draw near to Him in prayer this way, to draw near to His presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, and to enjoy His blessed, holy presence. And as you pray this way, Jesus said, there's a reward. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You kind of wonder, what's the reward? He doesn't give us any specific answer to that question, but we can mention a few things, at least three ways that God rewards those who pray this way. First of all, God Himself is our reward. The very best thing that we can get from God is not anything or any blessing, but God Himself. He is our greatest reward. He is our greatest blessing. To know Him more, to know His love more, to have closer walk with Him. I hope we'll all be able to come to know the Lord closer and better as we grow in grace. We have nothing better in earth or in heaven than the Lord Himself and the relationship that we have with Him. May the Spirit give us more and more of that blessing of communion with the Lord. Having Him as your God and being His child, it's the best thing that this life, this world has to offer. And enjoying His fellowship is our greatest blessing. It's our highest good. Seek Him. Seek to draw near to Him. Ask Him to draw you near to Him. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes prayer is very hard. Sometimes you feel like you can't get into prayer. You can't draw near to God. ask Him. Pray about that. Ask Him to draw you in to communion with Himself through His Spirit. Ask Him to satisfy your soul and your deepest needs of your soul that nothing else can fill. We all have those needs. And it's God and God alone and fellowship with Him that can meet that need. And He will not turn you away if you seek Him for that blessing and that reward. He will answer that prayer. And that's another reward. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. When you offer prayer to God, sincere prayer that is in accord with God's will, you can have confidence that He will answer that prayer. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do." Asking for things in Christ's name means essentially asking for things that are in line with Christ's will. And if you pray that way, you're asking for things that He wants you to have. So there's little reason to doubt that He's going to give you those things that you're asking for. You may not get it in exactly the form you expected. You may have to wait some time for that thing that you've asked for. But you can wait expectantly. That too will be a great reward. Even if it's a very different thing than what you specifically asked for. It will be just what you need. Because your Father in heaven knows best what you need. He can perfect our prayers that way. One other reward that God gives to His people who pray is transformation. Transformation. You know, when you spend time with people, they tend to rub off on you, and you tend to rub off on them. And that goes for whether it's a good or bad company that you're keeping. And it's the same when we commune with God. You come to know Him better. He rubs off on you, His character, His love, His will. And you'll be changed by that. Changed for the better. We all know how this works with our human relationships. We've got a good friend. We spend time with that friend. Before you know it, you're becoming more and more like that person. I had a friend in seminary who was just a godly young man. He was a good bit younger than me, and he just was a very innocent soul. He just hadn't been, messed up by life in the world like I had and so many others. He just was just had an innocence about him, and it was a beautiful thing, and just a purity. And we became friends, and that was a beautiful thing to know him, because he had that kind of character, that purity, and that had a purifying influence on me. And I was very grateful for that. And it's the same when we spend time with the Lord, listening to His good, pure words in Scripture, and as we speak to Him in prayer. Keep meeting with the Lord like that. Keep drawing near to Him in communion with Him by His Spirit and in His Word, and you will become more and more like Him. That's another reward of prayer. In verses 7 and 8, then, Jesus also warns us about another wrong way to pray, another way not to pray. He's already warned us about being ostentatious, trying to draw attention to yourself and putting on a show. Now he warns against babbling on and on like the pagans. He says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Long, wordy prayers and endless repetitions of the same requests, they will not compel God to answer you. We don't need to do that. Again, Jesus isn't saying there's anything wrong with long prayers. Jesus himself prayed long prayers. Jesus prayed all night at times. He prayed prayers that no one else could hang with. His disciples surely couldn't. And he urged perseverance in prayer and not giving up. So it seems like the real point here again is motivation, the motivation of our hearts in prayer. And what motivated the pagans, the Gentiles, to heap up all these empty phrases and to pray on and on with these long wordy prayers? They prayed like that because they thought that the longer and the louder they prayed, the better chance they stood of coercing God to get their prayers answered. That's exactly what they were trying to do, trying to force God's will, coerce their gods into answering them. But we don't need to do that with our God. We certainly don't need to think that way about this good, great, loving God who is our Father in heaven. He doesn't need to be coerced by his children because he cares for us. You don't have to manipulate him. He loves you. That's all the motive he needs to hear and answer your prayers. He's eager to answer your requests. But he wants us to come to him in faith. Talk to him as your Father in heaven and trust in him. Believe that he's there for you. Believe that he loves you. Depend on him to be good to you and to do good to you. You can cast all your cares on him and trust that he is going to show care and concern for you in the way that he answers those requests. And he knows what we need better than we do. He is fully up to speed on what we need. There's nothing that he does not know. Someone might say to that, well, then what's the point of praying? Why do we have to even bother praying? Well, God calls us to. It's that simple. It's the relationship. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to draw near to him and to pour out our hearts before him. He wants to make our heartfelt needs and desires known to him. And that's what we're wired to do as creatures who are made in his image. We're created this way. And we are created to have that fellowship with God. We need it. And the fact that he already knows all the things that we need, well, that shouldn't hinder our prayers. That shouldn't make us think, man, I don't even need to bother praying. No, that should do just the opposite. We should be encouraged by that to come to him and to bring our burdens and all our cares to him. He knows our needs. He understands fully all our problems. And he wants to hear them from our own mouths. He's a loving Father to you and me. And just like every loving, caring, concerned parent to their children, this Father wants his children to come and open up and speak to him and tell him their needs. You see the relationship here? It's a child to a father. I think that's everything in prayer. And your Father in heaven doesn't want you walking around acting like some orphan child, like someone who has no relationship with him. That's how the pagans were. Worrying, wanting. That's what that's why they just babbled on and on. They didn't trust God and his love. They didn't know his love. They didn't really have a real knowledge of him as their Father in heaven. And so they were fearful. They were anxious. But we don't have to be like that. Because we are not orphans. God is our Father in heaven. He is your Father in heaven because you belong to him through Jesus Christ. He lived and he died so that you could have this fellowship with the Father, so that you could be adopted into God's family. And he wants you to know that and enjoy that awesome privilege and not forget it. He's teaching us here to remember who we are. Remember that we belong to Him. We belong to this family that has a very great, very loving Father in heaven. And He's that for us. And that's another very great reward of prayer. Prayer deepens our sense of our identity as God's children and our sense of belonging to God's family. So draw near to God this way, people. Draw near to your Father. Seek Him. Trust Him. Believe that He cares for you. Believe that He knows all your needs. And He loves and longs to meet them. Come to Him with that confidence. Whenever you pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise You that we were made for this wonderful relationship with You. We were made for You. And we want to enjoy that amazing fellowship with You in Your Spirit. We want to come to You. We want to dwell with You. We want to commune with You in that secret place. And we pray that You would keep us from things like hypocrisy. Keep us from anxiety, reverting back to fear and anxiety like the pagans did. We pray that You would convince us more and more firmly and fully that You are our Father and we are Your beloved children. I pray that this would be our confidence and our great joy in life. Make this a strong conviction of our hearts so that we might pray and pray well, and glorify You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.